Jesus, we want to hear your words. We want to hear your truth. I pray you open our ears and our hearts to what you have for us today, that we won't colour it with our own misconceptions or our ideas, but we'll hear you for who you really are and what you want us to hear. Lord, I pray that distractions will not stop us from hearing you. Lord, I speak your words through Andrew, and I just pray that it will return with grapefruit. Amen.
Thanks, Sarah. Just wanted to thank everyone on behalf of Mavis as well. I know the last few years you may have heard me say it. It was on my heart for, I thought we were a friendly church, but sometimes we didn't go as deep as we could go relationally. I think there's evidence that that's shifted. And so I want to thank the care that Val and... Well, the whole home group, Val's whole home group, but particularly Val and Glennis have shown Mavis over these last few weeks. Spectacular. That's the church at its best. The support, we show each other. I love, as far as pastoral care goes, we're average as a church. But as far as doing life together, we're spectacular as a church. And you know what? Pastoral care is a really poor second best to just doing life together. Being in relationship, and that's the best form of pastoral care any church could ever find. So let's keep doing that. But my next challenge for the next few, well, maybe this year, maybe beyond that, is it's great to go deeper, and that's well done, Jess, for that vulnerability today. That's powerful. That's how we connect friends. If you want to connect and have relationship, you just have to do vulnerability. You have to do honesty and authenticity, otherwise you're always going to feel lonely. And if you're lonely and you don't want to be lonely anymore, start to be vulnerable to the right people, to safe people, to trustworthy people, and test that. Don't just take it for granted that people are trustworthy, because not everyone is. But my next challenge is I really want to encourage us to go deeper with God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I was going to throw a mem up, but I didn't know whether Facebook would shut us down because we're online. So I just try to describe it. But it was... My friend put up this meme that said something about you thought 2020 was bad. In the first 7 days of 2021, we had this. And it showed some weirdo with a cow's head on sitting in the speaker's chair in the American Senate. And I looked at that and I just went, yeah, okay, this could be interesting. I actually wrote on my friend who's not yet a Christian, bring it on. Bring it on. Because you know what? When circumstances are a mess, it's a lot easier to live by faith. Don't you think? See, friends, God hasn't called us to comfort. He's called us to grow like Jesus. So if you're looking for comfort, you're probably following the wrong person if you're following Jesus. Does that make sense? He comforts us, absolutely, but Marty smashed it. He's there to refine us, to make us more like him. And the idea is when things get tough, we draw into him. We push into him. We don't push into other things that can't meet our needs. We push into him. And this morning, I thought, the title of my message is, it's a good day to be discerning. What do I mean by that? It's like, you know what? One of the reasons Donald Trump, I think, got into power was because the Christians in America were trying to protect their religious freedom. And I see it a little bit possibly like the children of Israel in the Old Testament. When the Babylonians were coming, they went to Egypt instead of to God. And my question for the Christians in America is, did they go to Trump instead of to God? Because you know them by their fruit. See, this is a problem, friends. I need to make decisions about today and tomorrow, today and tomorrow. I don't have the benefit of hindsight. So I need discernment. I need to know before I have hindsight whether this is a dumb idea or not. Because dumb ideas get disastrous results. And so I want us to be a discerning people. And you know how we become a discerning people? Is by going deep in the Word. And so I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 5, and I want you to do that. Find a Bible, find it out there, find it on your phone, Google it. It's so easy. The Bible is so accessible today. We are without excuse. And when we get to heaven, if we put our faith in Christ, when we get to heaven and the Lord says, why didn't you spend more time in my word? I tell you what, if you've been in a Western country in the last few years, you have no excuse to not be in the word of God, because we have so much access to God's word. And this is how, you know, when our dog was a puppy, I forgot puppy stage, because we'd had old dogs, you know, like 17 and they're lucky to stand up and eat their food. And then we got a puppy. And puppies are interesting. Isn't interesting a good word? And he would eat anything because he was immature. He put anything in his mouth. And I remember this day that the little plastic clip fell off the bread packet. And he started chewing it. Oh, no. And only pulled about a quarter of it out of his mouth. Oh, no. And so I was following him around for days, making sure the other three quarters had come out. Because I didn't really want to go to the vet and pay thousands of dollars. And I could, anyway, you could go on with it. Google one day what vets talk about at vet conferences. They talk about what they find in dog stomachs. How funny is that? So, you know, if you have a dog, a puppy, don't put a mask on it or something. But what I'm talking about this morning is the same. If we don't grow deep with the word, we'll put anything in our spirits, friends. We'll put anything, because we don't know. We haven't learned by the word to be discerning. And so we'll see this Christian on TV and go, well, that must be the truth. Or you'll hear something, I say, you know what, I've said this to you before, and I say it regularly for this reason. I will have to give account for what I teach. But you will have to give account for what you believe. So you take everything I say and you test it against the word of God to see whether it's true. Don't just take what I say for granted that it's true. I've studied. I try to preach the truth. I try to exegete the word properly, but you're responsible to test that. And you know what? As Christians, we're way, way too gullible. And friends, we're living in days where it's too late to be gullible. Look at America's not in the mess it is because they were discerning, friends. And we could go down the same road, and we go down the same road in our individual lives. So as we look at Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to start from verse 11, 12, 13, and 14. And we're going to look at, how do I become more discerning? How do I get the benefit of hindsight before it's 4 years down the track? 4 years down the track's too late, friends. I've reaped too many consequences 4 years down the track. I want to know how to make the right decision now. And I'll just start off. And just to give you some of the context, my first point is it's a dangerous day to be dull. And what I mean by dull is what it says in this verse. You know, I always got offended when Jesus said to the disciples, why are you still so dull? And I think it's just, you know, in the Greek it would have sounded much better than the word dull. I think it's just a translation. It's like offensive. But this is what the word dull means, right? And Hebrews 11, the verse I got up there, is much more polite. It says, because you no longer try to understand. That's what it means. You no longer try to understand. You're not going deeper. You're not saying, God, help me get understanding. You know, too many people have said to me, the Bible's hard to understand. Of course it is. If it wasn't, all the intellectuals would be Christians and all the people that aren't intellectuals wouldn't get to have a go. You know why the Bible's hard to understand? Because you've got to spend time in it with the Holy Spirit, and He brings understanding. You don't get understanding from a Bible college. You get it from the Holy Spirit. And you can go to a Bible college and come out with less understanding of the Scripture if you don't take the Holy Spirit with you. He's the one that brings the understanding. The word here, some translations say dull, means slothful or apathetic or lazy. I don't think I need to say anything else. Yeah, one of the healthiest lessons for me for a COVID lockdown is it took away my excuse that I'm too busy. Did you have a list of things you wanted to do in lockdown that didn't get done? And you couldn't use the excuse that you were too busy. You just had to admit. I just had to admit I probably didn't have them as a high priority. I didn't really want to do it. I didn't really want to put the effort in. Isn't that? You know, friends, I've loved the truth for a long time. I love the truth. You know why? Because it calls me out on my nonsense, on my excuses, on my rubbish. That's why I love the truth. And in COVID lockdown, the things that were important that didn't get done, I just had to own up and say, you know what, I just didn't make them the priority I should have made them. I was lazy. So we want to know where discernment comes from and how to get it. And we move on to verse 12 and it says this, discernment comes from knowing God's word. In fact, though this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. I heard this many years ago and it freaked me out. And he's a preacher, and he was a guy that he wasn't really that interested in follow-up. You know, when someone becomes a new Christian, it's good to follow them up and give them a devotional. When we do all that stuff, we try to do all that stuff. But he said this. He said, when a baby's born, if it's not hungry, it's either sick or dead. So when we get born again, and I've heard testimonies of that in these last 12 months, people get born again, they get hungry for the things of God. That's evidence that the Holy Spirit's come and lived inside us and things are changing, friends. We actually want to come. Why do you go to church? Because I want to. Why do you have Christian friends? Because I want to. Why do I read the Bible? Because I want to. Why do I pray? Because I want to. See, religions have to's, and that's why I'm not religious. A relationship with Jesus Christ is a bunch of, it changes our hearts. He changes our hearts and suddenly I want to. When I first gave my heart back to Jesus, I went to everything the church had on. Because I wanted to. Got some agreement in the congregation this morning. It's true, isn't it? Because we just want to be around God and get as much of God on us as we can. He changes our hearts. You know what, friends? If we're not hungry for the Word of God, we need to see the red light flashing. Because what happens if we're not hungry? See, what happens if we get born again and we're hungry and we don't feed that hunger with the word and with prayer and with fellowship and all the things God tells us to do, is that often we stick other stuff in there. You know that people that binge, that live very unhealthy, though you might have seen it on shows like Biggest Loser, even though they're eating all the time, they're eating the wrong things, so they're always hungry. Their body's actually in one sense starving. You know, it's so fascinating. And I think that happens for us spiritually, friends, is that we're hungry for the word, but we fill our lives with so much other stuff. We wonder why the hunger doesn't go away. Because nothing can satisfy us like God's presence and God's word. It's better to attend to our hunger for God's word before it gets worse and our health gets worse. It's like Paul describes when he spoke to the Thessalonians. This is putting in a positive context. The Hebrew writer put it in a bit of a negative context. But Paul said to the Thessalonians, and we thank God continually because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it, hear this, not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Isn't that interesting? Do we see the Bible as the word of God? Man, there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians out there today who don't. And this is why I want us to be a discerning people, because there's a lot of false teaching out there. Jesus said it. Read it, Matthew 24. He said, in the last days, false prophets will come. Friends, they've always been there. Look at the book of Jeremiah in his day. Jeremiah was probably the last true prophet in the nation, saying, you know what, the Babylonians are going to come and take you guys captives. And everyone went, oh, don't listen to him. Throw him down in a well. And they gathered around them all these other prophets that said what they wanted to hear. Today, friends, it's no different. We have to be discerning because not everyone who calls themselves a Christian is speaking the truth. It's time to grow up. It's time to go deep with the Lord because we are accountable. We'll stand before God and give account for what we believe. So we better work out what we believe. We need to know. Otherwise, we let up every second garden path that someone wants to send us up. And number three, discernment comes from growing in the Word. So it comes from knowing the Word. So going beyond, and when he talked about milk, he was just talking about the things of salvation. You know, the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He rose again. We put our faith in him. He comes and lives in our hearts. We are filled by his Spirit. They're the elementary things. And once we get saved, we never stop. You know, I still drink milk. I love drinking milk. We don't stop drinking milk. We don't ever leave the gospel, but we go on to deeper things as well. And we dig deeper in the Word. We read the hard passages. We study the hard. You ever tried to read Revelation? I'm not sure you should read it. You need to study it. It's like Leviticus. Don't read it. Study it. Some books aren't for reading. They're for studying. So unless we get into study, we'll never know what God's trying to say to us through those things. Hebrews 5:13 says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. You know, it's about how to grow in our relationship with God. How to become more like Jesus. I actually think it's a benefit when you read the Bible, and it might start off as a discipline, but what you find with the Bible is as soon as you start to read it, your hunger gets more and more and more. You ever found that? The more I read the Bible, the more I want to. Yesterday we had two kids at camp and another couple of kids at having sleepovers, and Melissa had gone out shopping, and I just sat, and me and the dog spent a whole bunch of time in the Word and the presence of Jesus. That dog will get saved sooner or later. But you know what? I thought, man, I got the whole morning. How good is that? How good is that? To just have time in the Word of God, allowing Holy Spirit to bring. And I studied. You know, the internet's got so many great study tools these days. It's not hard to study the Word today. So many great tools out there. But you know, it's like, we don't have chips in our house. You know why? Well, you might be a chocoholic. I'm a chipaholic. I've never gone to a packet of chips and just had one. Never. And I don't think I ever, will you imagine opening a whole packet of honey soy, you know, Red Rock Deli, taking one chip out, oh, the crunch, and then wrapping that thing up and putting it away? Friends, that's madness. So how come we open the Word of God, read a couple of verses, go, I think I'm done for today? Friends, loiter in the Word of God and you'll find your appetite grow. And you'll find your knowledge of God grow. And you'll find your discernment grow. And you won't be led down the garden path by every whim of teaching that's around in our world today. And, you know, it's not only about Christian teaching, it's about just discerning what's in people's hearts. You ever met someone say, oh, man, they're a great person, and 2 years down the road, they've led you up the garden path and they've just been a full-on liar? Friends, how do we discern that? Well, we grow in the Word of God. We grow in discernment. And it doesn't mean we don't love those people, but it sure means we don't give them the trust they haven't yet earned. I believe in our day and age, we need to be discerning people. So, you know, the good thing is, like, I don't need a discipline to open a bag of chips. I need to be disciplined not to open a bag of chips. But, you know, the same can be said of broccoli. You know, I love broccoli. I didn't always love broccoli. Here's a better one. I love olives. You know, you know how I come to love olives? I was at a Red Shield meeting as a trainee in the Salvation Army College. We were over at Neutral Bay having a Red Shield meeting with these wealthy people, and they put out a nice platter on the table with olives. And I sucked up all the discipline I had to be polite and put an olive in my mouth. And after a few olives, I acquired a taste for olives. And you know, sometimes, friends, we need to put the Word of God in our spirit, and after a few weeks, months maybe of discipline, I reckon only a few weeks, I reckon 30 days to create a habit of putting the Word in our spirit and in our mind, after a while we've acquired a taste for the Word of God. Instead of Facebook, instead of the news, we have an appetite and a hunger and a taste for the Word. Taste and see that the Lord is good, the Bible says. Sometimes we don't know God's good because we haven't had a good taste yet. We've avoided it. We've skirted around it. We just need to get a good taste of God, and we won't go to anything else, friends. There's nothing better. Maybe you have a good baked dinner. You're not going to go back to, you know, something less, are you? And discernment comes, my last point this morning, comes from implementing God's word. I love this verse 14, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use, I want to underline that, constant use. I've been studying the Bible for years and there's stuff in there I still don't understand. Because we need to continue with constant use. Who have trained themselves. You don't need to go to Bible college. Get in the word and train yourself to distinguish good from evil. And the writer to the Hebrews there is particularly talking about the good and evil of Christian teaching, of teaching, of what teachers say. But I think it can be used broader than that. I love what Warren Wisby, Bible commentator, says. As we apply the word, we exercise our spiritual senses and we develop spiritual discernment. He says, as we feed on the word of God and apply it in our daily life, our inner spiritual senses get their exercise and become strong and keen. It is impossible to stand still in the Christian life, he says. We either go forward and claim God's blessing or we go backwards and wander about aimlessly. And you'll see in the book of Hebrews, that's the illustration that the Hebrew writer used of the children of Israel. You know what? They got to the promised land and only two of them had the faith to believe that they could take their inheritance. The other 10 led the nation astray and the whole nation missed its purpose. The whole nation missed its inheritance. Friends, I don't want to miss my inheritance. I don't want you to miss your inheritance. I don't want you to miss God's best for you. But we can. But we can. You want to land here. I really believe in exercise. She reckoned my illustration. See, there's someone who knows me well. But I do. I think exercise is awesome. I love walking. I love going to the gym. I love riding a bike, but I don't do it. See, I can like it as much. You know, I can love it. I can say I'm not anti-bike riding. I'm not anti-gym. I'm not, you know. So you might like the idea of the Word of God. You might, you know, think it's great to read the Bible or study the Bible. But, you know, unless I get on my bike, unless I go for a walk, unless I go to the gym, I'm not going to get any fitter. And unless we read the word, and I'm not just talking about a few verses, unless we study the word, unless we just have this continual washing of God's word over our lives, we're not going to get any stronger as Christians. There's no other way, actually, to grow stronger as a Christian except getting into the God's word, seeing it, as the Hebrew writer said to the Hebrews, Paul said to the Thessalonians, as God's word. It's God's word. It's not just another book. It's the word of God. And as we put it into practice, as we study it, read it, put it into practice, we prove it to be true, but we also strengthen our discernment and our spiritual muscles. So I'm going to invite the band to come up. But this morning, what I want you to do is, because, you know, it's been a hard message in a lot of ways, but God's not a God of condemnation. So the Holy Spirit, when he brings conviction, what he does is he gives you something specific to do. So it might be for you to join a home group. It might be, and I think it's more than that. I think it's, what am I going to do? And, you know, I've never, and just, you know, let's make a level playing field, I've never read the Bible cover to cover. I've tried to. I'm just not that disciplined. So you need to find the way that works for you. Have I studied almost every book of the Bible? Absolutely. Have I read most of the books of the Bible? Absolutely. Have I read some books of the Bible front to back? Absolutely. But what works for you? I said to having coffee with Jess McFadden the other day, and I said, oh, I like structure. And she looked at me like I was really unself-aware. Well, I do like structure, I just don't follow it. So I've got to find a way to study and read the Bible that works for me. Does that make sense? So as we, I encourage you to stand if that's helpful for you in worship. Kneel and pray. Come out the front and pray if you want to. But what I want you to do is seek God's heart. Say, God, if I need the word, your word in my life, how's the best way for me to get it in there? Is it through audio? Is it through studying on the internet? Is it through doing a Bible college course? What's the best way for me to engage more with your word so that I can grow in your word and grow in discernment and grow in my relationship with you? Can we have that conversation individually with the Lord and by the Holy Spirit this morning? Let's do that.